Thank you, Pastor Anami. Excuse me. It's good to be back down in Kwinana again. I haven't been here for a few months, although maybe earlier than that, I'm not sure. But just nice to be here, and look, I can see that you're growing. From the last time I was here, there's a lot more people here, so praise God. God is moving in the house, so that's really good. Amen. Well, this morning I feel I've got a message that shall inspire you and shall encourage you. And we're starting a series, well, I'm doing this week and I think Pastor Stephen's doing next week, on a faith story. And yeah, so we'll just get my notes open. So just before, I'm not sure if you got the slide of the foundations of a house there or not. No, that's all right. I'm going to just share the story anyway. Look, this is just a quick story, a faith story that's actually happening in Liberia presently. And basically what is happening is, you know, and I think this will encourage some people who are believing God for things and haven't actually seen them manifest yet. What is happening in Liberia? It's actually with Pastor Colley. And probably about 3 months ago, they had the opening of the church building that was built. And we didn't actually provide the money for the building, but it was built with through an organization in America, Walking Witness. And they're part of their mission is to build churches. Oh, yeah, here it is. Oh, no, that's all right. So anyway, what we're seeing here is the foundations of Pastor Colley's house. Now, this is a real testimony to faith in God and how God has come through for him. So anyway, getting back to Walking Witness, they built this church. So they came over to do the grand opening and to, you know, to dedicate it and do that thing. Now, that's built on our land. We didn't have to build the church, so it's very good for everyone, really. But while they were there, and they were really blown away with the church, they were blown away. They thought, my gosh, they've built a number of churches in Africa, and this was the best church that they'd seen. They'd turn up to go to places and the churches wouldn't be finished. You know, there might be a wall missing. Because what happens quite often is in Africa, maybe in other nations as well, is that the money goes, but it doesn't always go to the project that it was actually intended for. So money was siphoned out. So either the concrete wasn't gone into the concrete, or so things were missed. But to Pastor Colley's credit, every cent that was given went into that building, and that building was fully finished. So while they were there, they were just talking with Pastor Colley over the days, and they saw where he was living, and they said, is this, you built that church and you're living here? And he said, yes, yep. And they were just so shocked, really. And what had happened before they'd come over, they'd been to a pastor in a church in America, and the pastor said, look, I want to give $10,000. There's a pastor in Liberia that needs a house, and he wants to give $10,000. So that's a word of knowledge for the situation for Pastor Colley. He has to be out of the house that he's living in by the end of the year. And so they said to him, what can $10,000 build you? And he said, oh, it'd be a small, you know, two-bedroom, three-bedroom, possibly property. They said, we want to double that money for you. So it was going to be $20,000. And they said, build something big that's going to last. And so I've known about it for a few months, but the $10,000 that the pastor had given these didn't actually get given to Pastor Colley when they were there for some unknown reason. But anyway, they've just started to send money now. So the foundations are started. And it's just that sometimes in a, you know, Pastor Colley's been believing God that God would provide a house for him. And God is providing. And sometimes when we're believing God for things, we don't actually, it doesn't manifest quickly. And sometimes we get discouraged and we give up on that because, you know, we just think it's too hard. But some, I just want to encourage you, stay the course. And you don't know how God can move in your situation or change things for you. So anyway, that's just an encouraging good news story or faith story with what's happening in Liberia. But anyway, my message this morning, because it really ties in, because we're talking about faith, and the title of my message is that faith that pleases God. So I'm just going to look at a person in the Old Testament, and by the title you might know who he is, but faith that pleases God. And I'm just going to read out a couple of scriptures and then we'll get into it. So in Hebrews 11, 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." And now I'm just going to read Genesis, and Genesis 5, 18 to 24, and you'll see who I'm going to talk about as I'm reading this. "When Jared had lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. After he'd become the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah." And I'll explain what that name means in a minute. "After he'd become the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. And altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more, because God took him." Or you could say he raptured him, or he caught him up. But Enoch was no longer around. And in Hebrews 5, Enoch's only really mentioned three times in Scripture. Here in Genesis and in Hebrews 5, and then he's got a little piece in Jude. And I'll give you that a bit later on. So Hebrews 5 says, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God." You know, I think we all want to please God. I know I certainly want to please God, and for years I've worked at pleasing God. But as we go through this, you'll see that it's really just a simple faith that pleases God. So Enoch was only really mentioned here in Genesis, and yet he makes, and here in Hebrews, but he makes the Hall of Fame with a lot of others that had done probably far greater things through, you know, like Noah building an ark, Abraham leading the children of Israel into the Promised Land, so many, and what the exploits that David did with Goliath, and so many other exploits like that. But here was Enoch, and Enoch was a person that pleased God. So I just want to look and see what makes him special, and really how I can probably base my life around how Enoch walked with God. So if we go back really to the beginning in Genesis, we remember that there was Adam and Eve, and they had two sons, Cain and Abel. And we remember the story that Abel brought a sacrifice that was pleasing to God, but Cain didn't. So Cain was very offended because God did not accept his sacrifice. And of course, he killed Abel. So really, Cain then went and lived in the land of Nod, and obviously he had his had wives and built his descendants, and they had a number of descendants through the line of Cain. And it really gets right down to he had this one of his sons was a guy called Lamech, and he said he says here, Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, wives of Lamech. Listen to my speech, for I've killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain had avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. So that whole line of Cain, there was like a murderous type, a spirit with them, a spirit of rebellion and jealousy. So then there's the other line that when Eve had another son, they named him Seth. And the line of Seth is the line that Enoch's part of that line. So Enoch was really the sixth great grandson of Adam. So the two descendants, Cain, who murdered his brother Abel, rejected, rebellious, murderous, that was their line that had sort of followed after him. And you see that as time goes on, how the influence started to, the evil started to build in the world. So the world was getting darker, just really as it is in today's society. But Seth, that line was faithful. It was faithful and with humility. Now, Enoch was 65 years when he started walking with God. So for the first 65 years of his life, he didn't walk with God. And it's the same for a lot of us. You know, I came to Christ when I was 26 years old, so I'd had 26 years of walking by myself. But I chose, after hearing someone preach about Jesus, to accept and receive him. So I started walking with him then. So for the first 65 years, Enoch didn't walk with God. Then he had his son, and he named his son Methuselah, which means, when he is dead, it shall come. So it was like a testimony to the others, to others that were living in that time. If they looked up the word Methuselah, when he is dead, it shall come. Now, obviously in those times, the length of life people lived was a lot longer than what we did. So we just see how God had such, God allowed that them some to live over 900 years. And as time goes on, you'd see how the wickedness increased into the time of Noah. Now, Noah was Enoch's great-grandson. And obviously, Noah built the ark for the line to carry on with, where everyone else that was there, the judgment of God came and the flood. We know that story. So Enoch then, after having his son, just started walking with God. And I wonder, what made Enoch start walking with God? Was it suddenly he's looking around and thinking, man, things are pretty bad around this place. My gosh, it's getting a little bit, the evil seems to be getting bigger, expanding. And maybe he thought, I've heard somewhere where there's God. Maybe I'll just cry out and see if God is there. So that could have been one thing, and God answered his prayer. He could have gone and seen Adam because Adam was alive. He is the sixth great-grandson of Adam, and Adam would have been alive. So he could have gone and seen great-great-great-grandfather Adam and said, Adam, is there a story about you walking with God once? Didn't you walk with God? And Adam, yes. Oh, it's a very long time ago, but I walked with God in the cool of the evening. It was so good. It was so special. Those times were really good. I named all the animals. Everything was going good until then Eve came along. Yeah, the serpent came. Yeah, no, it wasn't. Eve was good. And if you'd talked to Enoch and shared this, well, then Enoch would have, when someone shares a good news story or shares a faith, I think for the first time that when someone shared Jesus Christ with us, that was Andrew and I together, we thought, my gosh, we'd been in church for years and never ever heard that you needed to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So right then and then we received Christ and we started walking with him after that. So Enoch, obviously, he heard. So then he decided he'd walk with God. And I can imagine, Enoch working out in the field, and there he'd be talking, and people would be looking, what's Enoch doing? Oh, I don't know, he's talking to his God or something. He's gone loopy or something. But he did this for 300 years. And the thing with Enoch, he didn't separate himself. He lived in the culture. He didn't go and hide in a cave or something. He lived in the culture. He had sons and he had daughters. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the outpouring of the Spirit. He didn't have a church to attend. He didn't have other believers to encourage him. Obviously, if he was hearing God's voice, that would be enough. That would be enough for me. But God was he was walking with God. And I can imagine that there would have been a lot of fun poked at him. Because everyone else would have been satisfied with how things were going for them. So in paralleling it back to really the time, to how we live our lives now, it wasn't that Enoch had great faith. I think for me as a Christian growing up, and I was raised after we'd got saved, in a word of faith church, so the emphasis was on believing God for things by faith. And, a lot of times I was believing God for things that I didn't really have the faith for anyway. It wasn't in my heart or spirit, but I was trying to be like, I'm believing God for a car, I'm believing God for a house, I'm believing God for $1 million, anything like this, just throwing things out there like that. But faith, really stripped back, is a simple walk with God. It's a simple walk. In Hebrews 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when we come to God, when we accept him, no longer is God just something that we can say, well, he's out there, or I've heard someone else talk about him. When I've come to God and I believe in him, then I start living my life for him. And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So if I'm living my life for him, I will be diligently seeking him. And it's not that I have to, for me, for a number of years, I wanted to please God, but my way of pleasing God was really through a works-based type program where I would do things to make God please me, to please God, for God to be pleased with me. If God, look, I got up, I've read my Bible, and and this, and it was out of a workspace scenario, not a rest. And God wants us to rest in Him. He wants us to rest in Him and spend time with Him. You know, doing the things is good, reading the Bible, yeah, we need to do all those things, but it shouldn't be coming out of a place of, oh God, if I do these things, you're going to do something for me now. You're going to answer my prayer. You know, faith is a walk, it's not a run. You know, if you're running, you're huffing and puffing. You can't talk to God when you're running. So you've got to walk and talk with God. So when I look at Enoch, I think, what excuse do I have that I can't walk with God? And I just want to share just a little of a faith story that I had. You know, Andrew and I got saved together, and I was 26 years old. We'd been married for a few years, and we started going to a church, and it was good. We had a prayer need. We really desired a child or to be a family. And we had a lot of prayer, and we found the promises in God's word, and we stood on those promises. We prayed, people prayed for us, and yet the promise didn't seem to be being fulfilled. But 17 years later, we received the promise. Now, it wasn't the way that we had thought it would be. And just a side note, you know, you can be asking God for things or you can be believing God for things. Don't put God in a box and say that God's going to do it this way. He's going to work it out like this. You need to, God will work it out the way that God chooses to work it out. Not the way that I want Him to work it out. So for those 17 years, it was difficult. Because, you know, we saw other people have children that had been believing God, and we'd had so much counsel and advice from different people over the years. Some were good, some were bad. And so in the end, you feel like giving up on it. But I remember someone saying, well, what say God could give you a child a different way? And it was something that I never thought of at the time. You know, we were solely focused, being faith people, seeking God and believing God. But obviously, as time was going on, that was looking less likely. So we went down another path, and as I said, 17 years later, we were over in China and we adopted a 13-month-old baby girl. And she's been a real blessing to us. And it wasn't, you know, what I thought originally would happen. You know, we were doing our best to serve God. I was probably going overboard because I was really going overboard to force God to do something. And that's the thing. We don't want to go overboard. We just need to rest in God. Allow God to work through us. So we were blessed. It was a long time. And Hannah's, our daughter's been a real blessing to us. And it's just, just fulfilled a great desire for so many years. It fulfilled that. So faith. Don't give up. Don't give up on the promises that God has given you. Don't give up on them. It's so easy when things come to discourage us that we step back or we decide, oh, I don't know if I can trust God in this. I think I'll try and find another way of doing it. You know, I could have a plan B or a plan C. I'll start with plan A, believe in God. But then, if plan A, believing God, doesn't seem to be working, don't worry, I've got a plan B behind me. And I can do something different. I can, if I'm believing God, maybe I can borrow some money here, or I can do something else. And, you know, I've done that in the past, done things where I thought, oh, well, I've given up after a few months and done something in my own ability and own strength. And then turned out that it's been a fucking disaster. I should have just left it. So we've got to, you know, so I just want to encourage you in that. So my faith in God will influence my practices. My faith in God will influence my practices. So it'll either convert sinners or it will condemn them. So my life should be a life of faith in God, but God should be seen in my life, that there should be a reflection of him in my life. And that could be in my workplace where everyone is all negative about some managers or the boss, and it would mean standing back and saying something positive because I want to let God into the situation. It could be that there's probably lots of illustrations where we can allow God to get in the situation rather than gossiping or rather than, you know, rather than going with the crowd, that we stand up and say, no, that's not for me. I'm not doing that. I'm going to, and just showing God's love and showing God, you know, through you. We want to be imitators of Christ. And we know that Jesus pleased God. He said, not my will, Father, but yours be done. And just in closing, I just want to just read these. The band comes here. This is not my quote, but someone, I just thought it sounded so good. But the way of life, well-pleasing life in the eyes of God, is a humble faith and a joyful seeking after God himself. Those who seek will not only please God in this life, but they will enjoy the greatest pleasure of all, the pleasure of walking with God. So my encouragement for you this morning is to peel things back in your life and just draw closer to God and sit with him and rest with him. God wants us to live a life of faith and trust in him. You know, I had a lot of things in how can I please God. There's lots of things we can do to please God. But I think, again, peeling everything back, it's coming and sitting before him, sitting before his throne. And God will speak to you. And God will encourage you. And sure, we're going to need our faith. We're going to need faith in the life that we're living. We're going to need to trust God. And I'd encourage you to believe God for things and great things, especially if you've got those things in your heart and in your spirit. Believe God. And God can make a way. But don't put God in a box and say that this is how he has to do it, because my experience is he never does how we exactly want it. He'll do it in his time and in the right season for your life. Sometimes if you get things too early, you can ruin it. But if you get things at the right time, then it can be a blessing to you. So let's just pray this morning, and we'll just close with a song. I just feel this morning, though, I'd really just like to pray for people. I just feel that, you know, there may be some here, you've just sort of, you know, you're just feeling a little bit, how can I put it, you don't seem to feel like you've got any much faith, and it's like you're just going through the motions of church, and I just feel that God just wants to touch you this morning, just to inspire you, just to stir you again to come to him and just rest with him and allow him to touch your heart, touch your life. Because His life, when it's flowing through us, it's that river that will flow out of us and touch others. He'll be seen. So we'll just sing the chorus, is it? We'll sing the chorus. And if you would like prayer this morning, just feel free to come.